about what?
Your name and hers are on it.
Okay.
No, I mean, what they, the work they did was.
Mr. Skeleton, that's like a public thing.
Interesting, alright.
Yeah, you know.
By the way,
she should have called the news.
That's in her, okay.
So Kate and I, we are meeting 4 to 5 hours a week. Like two times a week. Well, we've been meeting like a lot. Pam was sitting in and then it's like, she knows we should just, she doesn't need to be there.
It's a yard charge.
And it's just drag, like, it's taken a lot, like.
That's what Andy said.
It was, I was just disappointed that she wasn't.
Who's it?
Right.
I thought she was, you said she was, she was not.
Oh.
I think she didn't want to be.
I think it was the new executive.
Were you trying to go there?
Oh.
Saying that is kind of.
God, yeah.
So are you representing people there?
Cause I heard that she would have taken it.
Alright, don't drink the water. Nope.
Okay.
They got a weird water system.
She came every evening.
Yeah.
Going on that, I mean.
I'm learning all about how that works. They're aquifer.
See, that's part of the game, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, and you got.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like.
Area where the wells pump in.
And sometimes they.
A small water place, it's only 40. South of residence.
Who's the guy, who's the guy?
It's very close to this.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. It's not a good representation.
That might be the auto shop.
This would happen.
You're used to this stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's every day.
Feels better.
Yeah.
That's good.
I got people.
You got what?
I said I got guests working late.
You do? We're gonna do 2 hours?
Huh?
2 hours?
No.
No?
They have.
Is it a Final Four thing?
No, it's St. Patty's Day.
You're early.
More. Early for the Irish. Actually, I'm very early. Mr. O'Shea's got his fine Irish wool.
It was crazy.
It was
gonna walk us up. I had on my own work.
You guys ready?
Yeah, they should.
Mike, you ready? Is Kate ready? Okay. Clean my glasses. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the meeting of March 16th of the Rock River Planning Commission. Kate, could I please have a roll?
Mr. McAleer?
Here.
Mr. Papko?
Present.
Mr. DeMarco?
Here.
Mr. Bishop?
Here. The next item on the agenda is a pre-preliminary review for a new office building and parking garage at 19621 Lake Road. Want to come on up?
Bill, for the record, I'm just going to make a qualification that I used to work for the applicant. I know this is a different project than what we looked at before, but I'm going to do it since this is a separate application.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll further indicate that I am friends with Michael and Molly Schroeder and socialized with them and stuff like that. I'm not going to have any involvement with the voting, but I'm just putting that on the record.
Thanks.
Narrowing people down. Hi, I'm. Hi, I'm Mark Councilman. I am the developer of the project and will be acquiring the land. we are proposing, here to propose construction of a new office building that'll be occupied by Roundstone Insurance, which is currently located in Lakewood. The building will be 100% occupied by Roundstone. There'll be no other tenants. we're excited about what we've put together here. As I'm sure you all know, the zoning created some challenges with a split zoning through the parcel and some nuances that we had to deal with and understand a little bit. We think what we've put together is a great solution to what those challenges were, as opposed to, you know, we could have put a garage in front and a building in back, which would have been a little awkward, but we think this fits in with the neighborhood and what's going on, and I'm going to turn it over to our architect and they can get into more details.
All right, thank you, Mark.
My name is Denver Brooker, principal with Vocon, leading the design for this project. I'll give you a high-level overview of what we put together, and then I think it'll probably be easier if you ask questions. There's a lot of details buried into this presentation. In kind of summary, we're seeking to build 60,000 square feet of usable office space, plus or minus, and enough parking to serve that office building. And so what we've done is arrange it on the site in a way that we feel best works with the street, lake, and the context. So I'm going to walk through the details of how we integrated it into the site. First page of your presentation, existing context, is just an overview. We are aggregating three parcels together. 19621 Lake is the largest of the three parcels. And then we have 19701 Lake, which is where the Cravings Thai restaurant is. And then there's 539 Linda, which is a long, narrow slot with access on Linda. They are split across two zoning districts. And the large parcel is actually split by two as well. So it's not just by parcel, but it's two districts within a parcel. And so when we aggregate that all together, we have the complex zoning puzzle. If you go to page five, that's just the existing survey. Page six highlights, at a broad level, the demolition. Basically, we're taking down everything that's on the site. There are a few locations where we'll interface with the existing right-of-ways, where we're going to remove existing curb cuts on Lake and Linda, and then relocate, reposition one new curb cut on Lake and one new curb cut on Linda. Just a slight adjustment on Linda, a cleanup on Lake. Then we go to page seven. This is the big block of how you see the site, the blue representing the office building. And you can see on the first floor, which is part of this site first floor plan, there's some parking that's integrated into the office building that's covered and will be controlled, and will be heated. And then immediately behind it, we have a two-level parking structure, parking at grade, a second level above grade that's accessed by a speed ramp at the very south edge of the site. You can see, we can walk through all the details of the setback. Big picture, what we've done is taken the local retail maximum setback of 25 feet and set the north face of the building back 25 feet from the right of way. Thing we'd like to point out too is that this location on Lake Road, the property, the right-of-way is much wider. So there's a variable of 13 foot 7 to 17 4 from the right-of-way line to the south side of the sidewalk. And on the rest of Lake Road, typically the side, south edge of the sidewalk would have been the right-of-way line. So our perceived setback is going to be much greater, and that was intentional. As said before, there's two curb cuts, one off of Lake and one off of Linda. And what that does for us is it allows building services, garbage collection, even fire emergency access to easily sweep through in and out of the site, but minimizes the number of curb cuts. There'd actually be much fewer curb cuts with this new development than the previous uses on these sites. I'm going to skip past all the nuanced zoning variances just so you get the big picture of what we're proposing first, and then we can go back to the details. So we go to page 10. This is showing you a more colored landscape plan so you can kind of see where the roadways are. The sidewalks are colored on site, the reddish toned color. The blue is the first floor office, and then the gray is representative of the parking within the L-shaped office building and the parking immediately south of it. You see that we've located the transformer right at the corner of the garage. We've planned for screening in all of the zoning compliant way from new street trees along Lake, the bushes, foundation plantings along Lake. and perimeter landscape along the south edges of the property. Page 11. This is a preliminary lighting plan. We're minimal work, really, because we're going to light the main driveway off of Linda and Lake and to the parking garage. There is one light pole, I neglected to say that on the demolition plan, at the Lake Road curb cut. There's an existing public light pole that we're going to have to relocate a little bit to the east. Otherwise, we're not affecting any of the lights or infrastructure on Lake with our new development. And then the small little blue dots are representative of small bollards along the pedestrian walkways at the front of the building and at the back. The building will have two entrances, one from Lake and one from the south, which will probably end up being the primary used one, but we wanted to give the building street presence and a sense of entrance on Lake, which is why we're creating this through lobby effect. Page 12 just simply outlines where all the parking spaces are, so you can see that the disposition of surface spaces and covered spaces. We'll point out there's a little nuance to the south parking structure. The setbacks for a building are different than parking for this area. So the ground level parking, we're using surface parking setbacks of 10 feet. The second level is pulled in to provide the 20-foot side setbacks. We are asking for a variance to the south property line, where we're proposing a 10-foot setback in lieu of a zoning required 20. We'll point out that it is against a railroad, and the existing building on the site, which is like a one-story industrial building, is at the property line. So our new building is going to be no different, or certainly less than the way you perceive a building against that property line now. It's very discreetly located, parking structure, and that is because it's on the R5 side of the site. It's a conditional use. And so we need an approval for a conditional use to locate this to considered a parking structure, at least how we interpreted the zoning code. But we feel that we've integrated it very discreetly on the site behind the office building. It's next to a large industrial warehouse type building to the east, tracks to the south, or landscaping the west, and it's not visible from any public street. Move to page 13, you see the second floor of the office building, the second floor of the parking deck. And then 14, the third floor of the office building, intentionally set back, again in deference to the street, but also in terms of the primary tenant's desire to have outdoor space and maybe at certain times of the year a glimpse of the lake. So we've set back the building at that level 10 to 15 feet. I think there's some dimensions somewhere else in the drawings. From the second floor, so there's a substantial setback, and you'll see that in the renderings. The next two pages are exterior elevations. I think that the renderings are more descriptive, but in general, our the desire of the client was to create something that was classic, timeless, with a little bit of an industrial edge. And so you see a mix of multi-paned windows that are maybe a little inspired by industrial window types, but then there's also sections of large glass to maximize light. That was also another criteria that the primary tenant asked for, was light-filled office space. And we also wanted something that was substantial. We're not looking to make a loud statement at all here. And we think that this has quiet, dignified presence. We go to page 17. This speaks a little bit to the height variance that we'll need. We'll building will be approximately 45 feet high. And most of the building is on the LR part of the site. And kind of oddly enough, if it had been on the R5 side of the site, we wouldn't need that variance. So there's 4,500 square feet of the building that actually is zoning compliant. And then page 18, a view from the east looking west on Lake Road. So you can see how the third floor is set back. The two-story portion of the building is kind of rhythmically modulated along its length with some accents, particularly at the main entrance, which you can see on page 19. That's a quick high-level summary. Can delve into the nuances of the various variances and walk through them. Can answer any questions you have.
Thank you. That wasn't that quick. First, let me say I appreciate the amount of respect that went into the zoning requirements. And thank you for pretty detailed plan for a preliminary. So appreciate that. I think as Mark said, or you said, that this is a very unique site in that it's zoned local business and R5. There's actually only two properties in Rocky River that have a mixed zoning on the same parcel, the other being the property directly to the east. I would say that nobody could anticipate either property being developed in that manner. And if you really look at the zoning map, you can make an argument that that whole quadrant should almost be office zoning. If you look at the property to the east and the newer property on Linda, we don't interpret necessarily your parking garage as a parking structure. I think we would interpret it as part of the building. So we'll think about that as we go forward. In a way, as you said before, this building is almost backwards if you look at the zoning map. But if you looked at it backwards, it wouldn't make sense either in function or in aesthetics. But the code would allow the parking garage at the front in the local business, and it would allow the larger height in the R5 at the rear. So it is kind of backwards. But I think you could argue this is the better way to go about it.
I think so.
When we look at the height, we have a 35-foot in local business. We have the 55-foot in R5. And then we have 30% coverage in local business for the building and 40% in the R5. So where do we come up with the mix? And for your impervious coverage, you're limited to 75% of the R5, but we actually don't have a requirement in local business. So when you kind of look at what's going on here, you kind of have to use common sense to kind of figure out what's the right blend because of the two zonings. One, I would say let's forget about the letter next time around. We'll kind of decide what's the argument for variance or whether it's required in the interpretation. And of course, if our board doesn't is not in favor of a variance, then I would say come back with the argument to the Board of Zoning Appeals. So with that, what I'd like to do is kind of take you back through your presentation and kind of still clean it up in terms of some details and some questions.
Okay.
So starting with page 6, you're showing a CEI easement at the back end of the property. Does that affect?
It does not, and I know we've talked about that, and I'm going to turn to you, Mark, because I think you understand the details of it.
The CEI easement does not affect. There is a previous legal matter between the existing property owner and CEI that was worked out, and there were conditions that were established for new building or renovation of the existing building that the structure all falls within.
Okay, so it's been modified in a sense? The easement?
Yeah. I'm not trying to say it was modified, but whatever the agreement that they came up with, that's a binding agreement between the two. It's a lease agreement, I think, that kind of outlined what the terms are.
But you're comfortable that you're not violating it at this point?
Yeah, our title company and our legal counsel both reviewed it and agreed we're in compliance.
Okay. So if we look at page 7 and the parcel that goes out to Linda Street.
Yes.
You're not showing here the setback requirement for both building and parking, and in this scenario, parking follows the building setback. So we need to identify there what the building setback would be on Linda Street. And we need to verify that that first parking spot is not within that setback. So to the far left of the page.
Right. My understanding is that's a 20-foot building setback. That's the dashed line that's outlined. And that there's a 10-foot parking setback, although it's not drawn at 10 feet.
So the current zoning on that parcel is R5, I believe?
That's correct.
So the setback for the R5 would not be the 20 feet. Maybe it's also hard to tell because you're not really showing the right-of-way there, so it's hard to kind of look at it and really see what's going on right at that point in Linda Street.
You're right. So the setback is 25 feet for a building from Linda, at least based on what I have on page 9.
So this is just really a cleanup, and we kind of went through this with your firm the last time, but what I don't want to do is do what we had to do last time, which was make 3 meetings out of the cleanup. So let's do the cleanup, so when you come back for preliminary, it's done and taken care of, and we don't have to address it again.
Agreed.
Okay. And then we just want to verify that one spot. One, we want to show it really well to know that it's not a safety issue for that parallel spot and how cars are going to come in and out of that spot as it relates to the ingress and egress at that drive as well as Linda Street. Because when you parallel park, the maneuvering can sometimes...
Agreed.
Okay. So that's going to be one of our concerns, I think, is how that ultimately ends up. And then can we show the width of the access? Are you following the 24 all the way through everywhere at this point? Is that the 24-foot wide for the aisle?
That is correct.
Okay. Then can you identify the count in the various locations? We're used to that pretty much on everything that's submitted. So if you could just show the count there on the various parking banks. So, for instance, a 4 for the parallel, the 6 for the head-in.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Probably consolidate.
Right. Well, that was going to be my
page 12, but
well,
it'd be better.
So that was going to be one of my comments. Is it's more difficult when you're taking all the zoning information and you're putting it on various pieces of the plan or the plans. It's shown. Some things are shown more on landscapes. Some are shown on your first, second, and third floors. But for zoning, it should just if we can just get it all moved to here, it's just a lot easier to work with and.
Not a problem.
When we're standing up here, we don't have to hunt for everything. And this way it makes the chart that you've done over here just clear and covers everything, basically.
Okay.
Okay. So if you could just show those aisles all the way around on this. So pretty much move all the zoning information onto this page, in a sense. And then can you actually identify the square footage of the building, the office portion on this floor, and then the square footage of the parking on this floor? So really taking all the same information and kind of breaking it out.
Okay.
And then you're 6'3" on that west wall.
Yes.
The code requires 10 foot. I would hate to see you go for a variance for that, and I'm wondering if, one, even though there's a 10-foot parking setback, there's a 5-foot building setback, and this is something we're addressing in the, we're redoing our code right now, we're addressing this, because does it make sense to have a 10-foot parking setback but only a 5-foot building setback? It's almost, again, like in our code, it's almost backwards. You would want your building to be set farther back, theoretically, than your parking. So I'm wondering if we can make up some of that 6'3" and get it closer to that 10-foot number, either by sliding over to the west, the drive aisle, and just pulling it away from the building a little bit.
And we did have that conversation just yesterday. We're looking at saying, is there a way to avoid it? And if we made the 24-foot aisle 22 feet, we could gain 2 feet of it. And that was one avenue. But we thought that the 24-foot aisle, given that there's so little access way, that short driveways, that maybe it made sense to keep them 24. But we're certainly open to alternate approaches.
I mean, you're over, I'm not going to say you're over parked, but you're over the code minimum requirement. So I don't know if it makes sense to, if you don't want to move it, potentially eliminate the two handicap and move them to the south.
Then you would need a variance.
Then you would not need a variance. Right. So just something to figure out before you come back next time and which way you may want to go with that.
Okay. Just a question, because I'm cycling through this. Do you guys recognize compact spaces? Like if we were to change the 18-foot spaces?
We don't officially in our code book, but I think it's something we should think about. We've talked about it, but we've never really taken it the next step.
I'm just thinking there's a combination of things we can put together here to avoid the variance if a compact space is also something you'd consider.
I think it could be on the table.
Okay.
But I also think you could handle it with just moving over 3 feet to avoid that variance. The rear setback at the south line, you had stated that the existing building was already on the property line, but we actually don't recognize the tracks or the track right away as a zoning district. And our code says those are set back from zoning districts, and this is not a zoning district where the tracks are, so you're not really held to that. That would not be a variance in a sense.
Well, there we go, one down.
Well, you got like three down, come on. And then when you look at the development data, can we just break it down then into each floor as it applies, square footage, parking, the number of handicap, the number of parallel, and the number of head-in. And then we also need to verify that you're using the proper dimensions in all the parking spaces, because for different spaces there are different recommendations for the dimensions. For instance, a head-in space has a different dimension than an angled or a parallel space. So somehow you need to show that, or...
We do note it where it says 185 spaces total. All of the spaces are 9 by 18.
Right, but that doesn't comply with what's recommended in the development code book. Angles have a different space dimension, the way they're figured, as well as the parallel. And Kate can give you that out of the book, you know, tomorrow if you need it. When we look at the impervious, we have that dilemma of the 75 versus 100%. In the site plan, it's hard to determine where we have 75%, where we have 100%, because it's mixed. The easiest way out of this would be, is there any consideration to doing, say, 6% of a permeable pavement or something like that? I don't know if we'd ever be able to determine if you need a variance for impervious or not. It'd almost be impossible. Does that make sense? You would have to extract out of each zoning district the... Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. 6% of the site is permeable pavers.
Or we could take the position that 100%, 75%, what's the ratio? Maybe everyone up here is willing to consider something like that, but we'll probably get on, talk about that down the line. But somehow we have to determine whether it's a variance needed or because of this unique situation that it's not necessary. That's all. That makes sense?
It does. I think what you're asking us is to see if we can figure out a way to limit our lot coverage to 75%.
Well, unless you can extract from this 100% and 75% to say that in the R4 we are at 75% or less, and in the local business it's there's zero, so you don't even have to worry about actually that portion. So if there's a way for you to do that, that would be acceptable.
All right.
Does that...
No, I follow. I'm just wondering if the math works. If it does, that would be fantastic.
It might. I just don't want to be the guy to do it.
It's not hard for us to do it.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Okay.
And then when we look at parking provided, we're going to look at this as enclosed and open and surface. So if you could just break it out that way. Because these are enclosed spaces within an overall larger building versus a parking structure. The way we interpret our code, a parking structure is basically a freestanding parking garage. And that's really not what you're presenting. What you're presenting is an office building that has enclosed parking, some of which is integrated and some of which extends out of it.
Right, and I guess the only distinction we were trying to make was that the parking that's shown in blue is enclosed, and the parking in the that extends beyond is open-sided and open-roofed.
Right, it's more in the way you narrate it on the development data. Because what we don't want here is level one parking structure, because that's not what it is. And if it is, then we're back to this conditional use. So I'm cleaning it up for you. Because those are really, do you understand those are two different things in the way we interpret it? Our code was designed when it says parking structure to be a freestanding structure on its own, where this is not what you're presenting. You're presenting, again, an overall one building. They're connected, and part of the parking is integrated within the office building.
All right.
So this is all one structure.
Okay, that's fine, because we were scratching our heads with the term parking structure anyway, and that's fine. The interpretation works, and I guess that takes the conditional use line out of the equation.
Right. So
two down.
No, you're like at five. Okay, so I think you understand where I'm going with that.
I do.
And then again, so on each zoning page, just get all the information that's applicable to the zoning information, and then if we could add a level three for the zoning, add a page for level three if you could. Even though it's going to be a little bit, I won't say it's unnecessary, but it makes it complete. And then your page nine, just a couple comments, and then I think you could almost take this completely out of your package, this page. Your total lot area doesn't add up with your 93,870 to all the other pages that are 92,8 something. So We always look for that to be the same number all the way through to make sure that you're using the right number and we're using the right number and that your percentages then are accurate.
Agreed. Apologize for that error.
That's okay. And then you have next to that deviation, variance, or exception required. Do you know what you're trying to say there?
Oh, that was the alleged in the gray tone, wherever we mm-hmm. see that on under proposed, those were our interpretations of required variances.
Okay. So is this a statement or a question?
Statement.
Okay.
And up for interpretation if we've gotten rid of three of them.
Five. I think you're fine with your landscape plan. It looks it's a really great start. I think, again, with the lighting plan, you know, you got a really great start. I would say if you're proposing anything in addition that when you come back for preliminary, if you have it really ready to go, it would be great, because the fewer things we have to talk about for preliminary, you know, the better. Same thing with your floor plans. The colored floor plans are really nice. Just take the zoning information off and move it to the you know, the zoning pages. Elevation wise, I think it's great. I'm not an architect, but I think you pay a lot of respect to the property next door, and I think you're paying a lot of respect to the Kennedy project that's pretty far along in the process just down the street. So I think the way these are all going together will be a really nice, it's not like we're getting a lot of different things going on. There's a theme and a blend kind of developing there with the proposals. So that's great. When you look at your height, we actually don't count the parapet. Our code says that on flat roofs, the height of the roof is determined by the roof itself and not the parapet. So you have a little bit of leeway there to bring that variance down. And I actually think that's what you're identifying at your 42. So in a sense, you're asking for a 7-foot variance rather than a 10-foot variance for height.
Okay.
There is a precedent, the Kennedy project, their variance, which is very actually identical to this, was approved by the Board of Zoning Appeals. So there is a precedent for that variance. Their building follows very much the flavor, or your building follows very much the flavor of their building with the step back at the 25-foot setback. And that was a big consideration, I think, for granting that variance. So there is a precedent for that. So again, it's just cleaning up some of the details on those height depictions. And then I do think there's an error on 17. If you look at the upper left corner there, where you're trying to depict where the building could be. I believe that gray corner at the top is sort of inaccurate, right? So I just want to make sure you show it. Right. So that it's an accurate depiction for not just this board, but any other boards that you'll be visiting.
Actually, it wouldn't exist at all, right?
Right.
Because your height's only 35 feet at that point. So
right.
The box should only
it just
go
doesn't,
35
right.
feet.
Okay. It just doesn't belong there.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I see. What we were trying to represent with this gray box was that the zoning sets 10 feet to 25 feet from the right-of-way, and so the colored section and the red and the black is at the 25 feet. And if that whole box were pulled forward to the 10-foot setback, that would be where it would be and how the sight lines would change. That
right.
was the intent.
Right, I understand that. The front part's good. It's that upper corner there that where it says 14.6?
Right. That's the third floor setback with it as proposed.
Right, but you're trying to show us what's allowed, not what's proposed. Is that right?
Trying to show
you're doing
both
a comparison.
We're trying to show you both in the same drawing.
Okay. I'm not sure what the need for. I guess it's up to you how you want to do it. Yeah.
Not the gray portion, but
yeah.
I understand what
you're saying. It's like, and then, unless the way you're wording it, it's unclear. I thought you were trying to show us what you could do if you kept within the code and what you're doing as proposed.
Understood.
Okay. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. DeMarco then.
Thanks, Bill. Just as an overall, couple like general questions. So I don't know, Mark, if you want to step up too with Denver, like what, why was the office zoning like to OB1 not considered, or why is it not being considered here? Is it just to avoid the process of rezoning the property?
Yes.
And the timing associated with that?
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the clients, like, just a background on what they do, like how many employees do they have? How do they envision sort of traffic coming into and out of the site? Like, where do they pull their employee base from, that type of stuff? Because I think one of the big things that I see here is like a traffic impact. You know, you're planning for 180 stalls. Does that mean there's 180 cars coming to the site every day? Like, that's a big impact for that intersection, I think. So can you just talk a little briefly about like who the company is, how many employees they have, what's their growth plans? Like, what's the impact, potential impact for that property?
Understood. Right now they have around 130 employees. The goal is to grow 175 to 200 over the next 5 years. They're all primarily professional jobs. Roundstone's, I will screw it up, they're an insurance captive company. So for medium-sized companies around the United States, that it's a better alternative to health insurance as opposed to going to Anthem or, you know, United Healthcare, whatever, and it's a cheaper, more affordable option. The way that the office works is it'll be almost like a hoteling situation where it's not a 9-to-5. Right now, and the goal going forward is that only 50% of the people are in the office at any time, and those people come in anywhere between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. So, you know, it's not, everybody's not coming in 150 cars at one time and 150 cars leaving at one time. It's, you know, think of like a grocery store where it's kind of revolving all day long.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm just going to kind of walk through a couple other things here, and it might be kind of scattered a little bit because that's how my mind works sometimes, but thank you for that about the traffic flow. Is there entry to the building from the level 2 parking proposed?
There is entry ability there, yes.
Okay. And I assume it's through like one of those stairwells that's in the back there, like kind
of
a stairwell.
We've actually provided a ramp off the second floor parking level up to the second floor.
Okay. We're talking about the zoning transition. You guys have identified it on you know, like the zoning plans. Is that accurate to where it occurs?
The split between R5 and local business.
It's what we receive from the city.
Okay. Is that, I mean, is part of that just an assumption that the city's making as to where it's going to fall?
Well, it's colored.
Okay.
On the zoning map, and that's where the coloring changes.
Like generally to align with that,
yes.
So the parcel,
yes,
that they're capturing off of Linda, it
and
generally goes across
the
there.
I don't know the history of it when it happened, but it was a long time ago.
Okay. Okay. Just to walk through a couple other things, I'm going to kind of mimic what Bill did, just hopefully a little more briefly. sorry. I know, but you go through everything. You know, you go through a lot of stuff. I know, right? One of the things that I struggled with was trying to match, like, from the scale of the survey, match it with the site plans, because the site plans, I think, are a little larger scale than the survey is. Is there a way you could kind of match that across the site plans just so that it's consistent? I was trying to like benchmark myself with something that was on the site, so I tried to place the Cowan Pottery House onto the zoning plan so I could kind of get my bearings to understand the scale of the building. But if we could make it consistent, I think that would help. Also, if there's some kind of like marker that you can identify, you know, maybe like take where the location of that existing house is and just dot it in on your zoning plans or your floor plans, just to kind of give us a marker to say this is where the context is. I'm assuming there's an easement noted as triangle 15 on the survey that goes into the right-of-way, or it goes outside of the right-of-way into the street. Was there a thought to put like street parking there or anything? Are you allowed to do that? Because you're kind of banking all your visitor parking off to the west and sort of southwest.
Have to review the survey for what that.
Okay, I'm not suggesting that I would recommend doing that. I just didn't know if it was a consideration or not. Okay. Just a couple things that Bill hit on that I kind of want to reinforce. One is that 10-foot distance, setback distance from parking to the wall of the building. You know, I think Bill's suggesting maybe massaging the drive aisles and the parking. I would also sort of throw in there, is there a way you can buy the 3'9" out of, like, push the building face to the east a little bit and grow it to the south a little bit? Not change the area of that block, just sort of change the proportion of it a little bit, because it seems to me that that is an easy variance to get out of.
Which page are you?
I'm looking at 7 right now, which is sort of the level 1 zoning plan.
Yep. We did have 1'3".
What's that?
We had 1'3" in the corner to start with.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just
right.
So we need like over here. You mean like shift the whole thing? Yeah. It just, like, you've got a lot of area to that south there to maybe pull the building a couple feet down and move the west face of the building to the east a little bit. It'll get you out of one of those variances, like we kind of talked about.
Okay.
I'm personally not opposed to pushing the structure and the parking to the 10-foot line, but that's maybe something that we can go through. You know, if it's easier just to do it at 20 feet because it complies, then I'd say do that. The other comment I had is on the elevation, so going to page 15. I generally like what you guys have done. I think obviously there's some, you want to have some continuity with maybe what the Kennedy property is going to be. You've got the industrial warehouse type feel of that block right there. But to me, the elevation seems a little flat still. You know, Denver, you talked about like creating a sense of entry on the Lake Road side. But I look to the Kennedy property, and you've sort of created that sense of entry just with a negative, like it's black, but it's all black in a tower. Like, is there some way to incorporate something a little bit more massive or pronounced at the entry piece there? Just something to consider. I'm not saying doing that, and obviously you guys will go to design board when that time comes, but maybe just a little something to give that a little more emphasis at the entry piece of it. In addition to that, I kind of just sketched quickly, like, is there a way to pick up, you know, all of that? You can kind of see it on your Lake Road elevation on 17. You know, there's a rhythm of sort of a little bit of a peak to a lot of those buildings. The warehouse building to your east has a little bit of a gable on the front of it. Beechcliff and Beechcliff Row have a little bit of a gable on it. Like, incorporate some kind of element like that into the facade of the building, just to kind of give that, like, rhythm, continue that rhythm on that street frontage. Otherwise, that's my only comment on the elevations. I think it looks as handsome as the Kennedy building does. So, and I think that's it. Hold on, give me a minute. Let me look just to make sure.
A whole minute?
Yeah, a whole minute.
I'm good.
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. I talked a lot about the parking tonight. Do you feel like you need that much parking for the building occupant or to sort of meet some of the zoning codes relative to parking requirements? It's a lot of parking. I'm not against it, but...
Both. Yeah, I mean, you know, to meet the requirement for code, I think we're just over by a few spaces. Just for future growth of, you know, over 10 years as the company will grow, and I think the spaces will be more utilized.
I appreciate that. We've been flexible in some instances with parking requirements. Not something water wouldn't hear, but points well taken to feel to utilize all the parking, but maybe something to consider relative to the number of spaces versus the code. Is that desire to meet the code outweigh the need for the parking? Maybe something to look at. I think Bill articulated it well with the number of parking, how it connects. Maybe there's a some flexibility.
And
there.
Just to throw in there, with the code, we are redoing the code, as we said, but it's calculated on gross square footage, and we're leaning towards, and this is the variance they received for the Kennedy project, is the net square footage of office space, because you're penalized in the gross number versus the net number.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. Well said. So, as you're thinking about different options, it might be some flexibility on the number of spaces. Would that help alleviate some of the other things we've talked about?
And it may help with the impervious.
And impervious number. As well. Pulling the building back, maybe a little different shape versus, boy, I need all these spaces, and this is the only way we can fit in here. Just something to think about.
Understood.
I was trying to do the front elevation. I think Bill said it. I'm going to come back to the measurement. It says about 149, 150 feet across the front elevation. Again, I'm not an architect or a builder, I was guessing. I think it'll be important to see the impact on Lake, the expanse of the building, especially relative to the other buildings that we've looked at.
Which page do you recommend?
I didn't see any dimensions. I just did it myself. Oh, about 150 feet front facade. So when you come back, if you wouldn't mind having, I might have missed it. The dimensions of the front elevation would be helpful. All of them would be. So, again, I just swagged it, maybe 160 feet, somewhere that distance would be helpful for me.
Okay.
We consider the height variance especially. I think that would be important to note. Are there any outside employee areas, gathering spots, any activities during the day, anything for the folks who work there? I couldn't tell on page, I think there's green space on page 11, maybe, for employees?
Yeah, basically.
There's something to think about.
Three different spaces for employees. There's a relatively enlarged plaza space off the north entrance to be set up with some benches. Similar space on the south side of the building where you see that small rectangle inset into the green space. That's intended to be like a separate patio space. And we also have benches lining the walkways between the garage and the south entrance. And then there's the third floor terrace,
okay,
which we expect to be the primary outdoor space.
And there's, on page 15, there's nothing on top of that garage there, or is there on the second picture on page 15?
No, that's parking on the second level of the garage.
Okay, look like there's maybe something on just, that's probably part of the drawing. I gotcha. The doorway. Okay. quick question on the distance between the curb cut and the light on Linda. You probably have it somewhere, but are you contemplating any change in traffic patterns exiting onto Lake Road, left or right, west or eastbound? Not a lot of space to go westbound there out of the parking lot on Lake. Just maybe something to think about when you come back. I don't know the distance between that and the parking light, plus a curb cut right next to it.
Got it.
I was trying to, again, swag.
So maybe some sight line.
Maybe not. Just, that would be helpful. I appreciate it.
The building on the corner sits a little bit further
back. It does, further back. But yeah. For folks coming left that are northbound out of your part onto Lake Road.
Going west. Right?
Going westward. Sorry. I assume there's enough turning radius there and enough lane. So maybe if you wouldn't mind articulating that in the next drawing, that'd be helpful.
Okay.
It's here a little bit. And I think Andy Mechanicals, last question. We had some discussion, previous applicants on the roof, in the building, where would those be housed?
The intention is the primary HVAC equipment will be on the roof.
Screened noise, I assume we'll have the details on that when we come back.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, that's all I had.
Trevor?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple quick follow-up questions from what my colleagues have asked. I felt like it was a lot of parking until you kind of went into the employee count and where you see the company in 5 or so years. Do a lot of clients come and visitors at more, not really, there aren't clients coming and going, it's just more the workers?
Yes.
Okay. And I think you said this earlier, I believe the intent is that Linda Street would be the main entrance coming and going into the, or
Lake Road,
not, Lake Road, the main entrance, okay. And then there is an entrance into the building from the second floor of the garage, right? There's no elevator or anything in the garage from the second to the first floor. It's there, you can get in to the second,
yes,
from the second floor?
Yes.
Okay. I agree with the chairman's comments. I like the landscaping. I like the lighting. It feels like it connects with the neighborhood and the future project that's more than likely going to be starting here soon. So I appreciate the time and energy you put into this. So that's it, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, so I just have a couple follow-ups. If we go to page 7, I failed to ask. I'm assuming that you're curbing the aisles and the parking area. Is that?
The aisles. So the kind of the turn into the garage.
Well, really, all the parking area we would like to see curbed.
I would assume as well. I mean, these yes, are, all, these are all the surface parking to the, essentially the west and south, anything that's not covered is curbed.
Okay. So next time, maybe just show it somewhere.
Okay.
Then also on page 7, you have a site wall that's violating, that front site wall is violating the 10-foot setback.
Setback is
10
for anything.
Well, you're calling it a site wall, so when we hear the word wall,
and if it's a low wall supporting a sign, what is it?
The sign has to be out of the setback also, doesn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Then we'd have a monument sign, which that brings up a whole nother can of worms, in a sense, right? Wouldn't you interpret that as a monument sign?
Yes.
Yeah. But I don't know if it can be skewed just inside that setback or at that setback.
It can. It'll just affect the
because that would be a
outdoor terrace.
Because that would be a variance at that point, and that would be almost the hardest one to justify.
We'll make it go away.
And then if we go to page 17. On that, we were looking at that little gray area before up at the corner. It says 47-1 to Lake Road to the curb. Is that accurate?
Well, that's actually variable because Lake Road is not completely parallel along the street, but it is.
Yes, it is representative of what it is. That's why I was trying to, like, put the massing on the survey because I saw that and I felt like, man, it's really, that's a big distance away,
right,
especially from the right-of-way. But because your right-of-way cuts in from the curb line,
I mean, maybe
it really
just doesn't
that,
feel like it when you're
what
there.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that way.
But it's accurate.
It is.
Okay.
We on the survey, we know that the property line
so
varies like 23 to 27 feet or so. From property line to curb.
So the right-of-way right there is much larger than, say, a normal right-of-way or?
It is.
And it's shrinking as you go east?
It dips in and then dips back out.
Okay.
Along its whole length, it's still wider right-of-way.
And it could be the right-of-way is a fixed number, but the curbing's a different number. Is that?
If you go to page, is it page that, no, I'm gonna make it.
Like, this is the curb line here that comes across.
If you look at page 10.
Right.
Yeah.
If you look at page 10, it's a little more visible. The red line at the top of the page is the right-of-way line. And then, right about the middle, just a little bit to the right of the main entrance, you see the white sidewalk? That's where it's the narrowest to the street, and then it gets deeper to the street to the west and to the east.
Okay.
That's why I was saying it was hard to like, it was hard to visualize because of the way that that works. And what you perceive and what it feels like on the site, it doesn't feel that way. Because I think we maybe just assume that the right-of-way is either the curb line or the sidewalk line, but in this case, it's not, because the right-of-way cuts behind the curb line so far.
Yeah, because when you get west of Linda.
It's not like that.
The tree lawn there is not, there's not even.
Right, the back of the sidewalk is.
It's pretty minimal.
Is the right-of-way.
Yeah.
I mean, that was even one of the things we were looking at this landscaping along there. We felt that the street trees would be better in the public right-of-way, but your zoning doesn't allow for that, so you've noticed that we've located them just south of the right-of-way line.
So actually, the wall is less impactful if it were a standard right-of-way, what we would assume is a standard right-of-way.
Yes, everything's going to be perceived much differently, including the height of the building.
Well, that's where I was going next, but it's going to be much different actually than the feel of the Kennedy Building, because they are from the curb of Lake Road to the face of the building.
Yeah.
It's got to be about a 10-foot difference at least.
It's actually set back further from the curb than phase one of Beech Cliff.
Okay.
And phase one is, and got a 35-foot setback from the property line, but we're further back.
If you drew a straight line.
If we drew a straight line.
I actually think it would be very beneficial to try to depict that. There's probably an easy way to pick it up and.
Yeah, the overhead.
Because this, the height of this building is going to be much less impactful than.
And I think that's what they're trying to show with this diagram. This diagram is really good to show that.
But it doesn't really.
Yeah, it's like, how do you get more range?
You almost need this diagram from overhead.
You almost need to stand there, actually. Okay, that was it. Thank you. Anybody else?
Is there, I was asking the lot, or the building commissioner whether or not like a traffic impact study would be warranted here. You know, the only signalized intersection is at Linda and Lake. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of people coming in and out of there. Is it warranted? I don't really know. And I guess in relation to that too, traffic patterns is like, you're opening up a potential for people to kind of bypass the intersection, like to cut through your site. You know, if somebody wants to go east on Lake Road and there's a few cars sitting at the light, there's nothing to prevent them to cut through the site, you know?
I guess I would say
that that's
the,
a huge concern.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked the question about what the employee count looks like, you know, and you did a good job explaining that, like, it's a 50% sort of hoteling situation. So although you're parked for 185 people, you're only going to get 90 there on a daily basis. So I think that lessens the impact on it. And maybe it lessens the need for a traffic impact study,
well,
but
I guess I'd take a different position, is that you're eliminating Cravings and you're eliminating the businesses that were at one point functioning there.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that were more intense uses than this.
I would almost speculate, and I probably shouldn't, that Cravings, through when they had the drive-through operating with coffee and everything else, that they probably generated more
traffic
through
in
there.
And out than,
than you would with 60 or 80 employees leaving at various times.
So I guess maybe I'll put that out there as more of a caution then, because that may come up during like a public hearing or something like that. Like, what's the traffic impact going to be for something like that? Because obviously Cravings doesn't have 180 parking stalls, but maybe they're generating more traffic through there because of the use. Okay. So I would just say be prepared to address it when you have a public hearing.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't say you need a traffic study as much as you need a
able to address it.
Okay. And if I could add to that, I think the landscaping and the fact that it's gonna be hard to
softens it a little
softens
bit.
Softens it to yeah. see through, like, hey, can I cut through that? Like,
right.
But your point, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't think the traffic flow warrants, the way that the aisle's designed, I don't feel like it warrants a cut through. Like,
it's going to be like the worst kept secret in Rocky River in 2 years. People are going to say, did you hear about this? Can, you know, yeah. you can get around it, but.
Yeah, and we'll take that into consideration.
Yeah, like I said, just be fair warned that it'll come up during.
Yeah, and it's not a point of, main point of ingress and egress that we've used.
Sure, so yeah.
Probably have some flexibility there.
Okay.
And just parking for the employees, sounds like, so it wouldn't be like after hours for the other establishments on Linda.
That could be a good thing.
I'm just asking the question, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask one quick? On the surface or on the structured parking, when you're coming in there, is it acts like you have to, is there going to be a card? I mean, or is it going to be open to the point of can other people use it? The covered parking, the structure, or whatever we're calling it, that we're either considered a structure or not?
It's enclosed parking.
I think at this point, the plan is for it to be open.
Okay.
Only people who would want to park here would be the people visiting the building. It's not overly convenient to get anywhere else.
But there won't be a gate. If you're pulling up to the structured, covered parking, it'll be open for technically anyone.
That's the plan right now, yes.
Yes.
I
think that's a tough left out of there.
Okay. For pre-preliminary, we don't vote or anything. It's really, this is like advisory more or less and kind of get an idea where things are at.
Great. We'll be jumping off. Let's go. Thank you.
All right. So,
well done. Thank you.
Just in terms of clarifying, we talked about a lot of things. We understand exactly what to do. We prepare a new submission, and is that preparing it? So, I'm presuming. I hope not. Presuming, we can come to preliminary with a revised submission.
Yes.
And
okay.
Actually, what I should say is, I'm going to recommend that you go to design board as a pre-preliminary.
And we are scheduled to do so on Monday.
Okay, great. Because that'll just get you that farther.
Yes.
One step ahead.
All right.
So to speak.
Much appreciated.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Next item on the agenda is a discussion or recommendation regarding drive-through regulations. So this item came about, it was a long time ago that we spent a lot of time working with the development code to try to implement those changes. But I view this as, and that's going to take some more time still to really get it to where I think we're satisfied with the complete revamp of the code. And I've felt for a while now that this is something that we should address sooner than later. Mainly because there are other communities that have drive-throughs that serve coffee and other things that have generated long lines that spill out onto main streets. A couple examples would be onto Lorraine Road at 210, onto Detroit at just past the Beck Center. Chick-fil-A. Also at Westgate, there's another, yeah. But you know, I'm seeing queuing lines of 12 to 20 cars at a lot of these places, and our code says 6 for those type of establishments. So I just think it's important we get this on the radar, and so that we don't get blindsided by someone that's going to have a 20, you know, in practicality, or in reality, a 20 car line. And we don't really have much to stand on. And so that was the idea of this. Also, we had talked about making drive-throughs also conditional in general business. Right now they're permitted. But I feel that we should have all drive-throughs require conditional. And part of the reasoning there is that the way our zoning map goes, we have this areas of general that the master plan says should be walkable areas, and it would be in conflict with drive-throughs, spilling cars across walkable areas and those sort of things. So they don't align in a sense. And so that was the idea behind this. So the gist of it is making general business be conditional as well as it already is in local business. Kate's already kind of drawn it up and put the red marker to it. So you can kind of see what's proposed as the changes. And really for tonight, we're just looking for feedback so that maybe we can go to the council person and say we'd like you to, we can make a recommendation or not to propose that council makes an amendment to our code.
Can I ask a question on the process? How does that work, right? Because this is, I think, my first one change, I believe, that I've been a part of.
Well, our development code says that we can make recommendations to council for zoning, development code change, like pretty much everything in our book, we can make recommendations.
For changes, and then council, a council member will have to sponsor, introduce it.
That would be it. We want it sponsored by a council person, is that
sure.
Right? Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Gene Gallagher's not here tonight, but I'm assuming that's who
she
we are.
Be, yeah.
Our contact. Or
I don't have any issues with what's being proposed. I appreciate your work on this.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we already kind of did it for local business for the reason you identified that that's supposed to be a more walkable type, you know, zoning use, and I think it maybe makes sense to do that for all business uses. It's only identified in the use table for business districts, correct? Like not local, not
yes.
Office, right?
It's not permitted.
It's not in there at all.
It's not service
right.
Manufacturing.
All right, so it's only business districts. Okay.
Right.
Should we be adding car washes to this?
We did.
It's
we
there,
we added the number of queuing spaces.
To car washes?
Yes.
Because it still shows permitted.
It's permit, well.
Or are we going to make it a condition?
Oh.
That's a good point.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, we should make
that's
that
a really
conditional.
Good point. I think we did talk about this 3 years ago, yeah. Making car washes conditional.
Well, when we had that one.
I didn't know you could remember that.
Right.
Yeah. Show up behind Drella Shack.
It was permitted, but it didn't fit because of all the setbacks.
There.
Right.
Yeah, there.
But we did talk in all those meetings we did with the code that we were considering that as conditional. I pretty much remember that is.
That's why I thought of it.
Yeah.
When I saw it.
That's why you're here.
I don't want to pay
you got to wake up, but
yeah. I don't want to pay attention too hard.
All right, so I think we should propose that as well.
Okay. So one part I left out is the actual condition for this conditional use in a local business. So I will put it. I have more to add. This was at the last. Today, right, Bill?
Yes, at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
But we ran through the conditions and we couldn't really think of anything, and we could always do that later.
So I'll supply you with the conditions that are existing for local business, and maybe that's the same.
I think that's how we left
general
it.
General business,
yeah. Yeah, we just are suggesting they're the
right,
same.
I just didn't include it.
Well, once it's a conditional, that would be the criteria. So you really don't have to add it.
It doesn't have conditional for car washes, so we're going to have to.
We have no conditionals for car washes.
Yeah, we might have to make conditions.
Because it wasn't.
Because it was.
It was permitted.
Got it.
So let me see what we have in there as far as queuing lines. That's what's important.
So we should change the permitted to conditional when we have the conditions?
Yes.
But with this, we could still change the queuing line?
Yes.
Okay. I think we should do that.
Of doing. That's part of what I gave you, the queuing line for car washes is proposed.
Yeah. So I think we can at least do that part with this.
Yes.
And then come back with the conditions.
Yes.
So I have just a comment about the notations with regards to the quantities. You know, we're identifying potentially 12 as a minimum. But then we're qualifying it by saying, or additional queuing spaces as determined by Planning Commission. to me, like, to me, I think we should eliminate the word additional, because 12 is already the minimum, and so if they're proposing 15 because that's what they demand, then it's fine, right? To me, I think the thing that I think we should do is at least allow ourselves the out to say 12 is the minimum, but like your site is too small to accommodate it or something like that, yeah. And allow ourselves the ability to reduce it if it fits the development plan.
Under where I gave you all the red, look at the little D, reduction in required waiting
okay.
space.
So then maybe can we put the little D on the in the paragraphs here or something, just to reference it back to that.
Okay.
So what we're really trying to do here is, based on the testimony of the applicant may present where we feel you need 20.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like, with this new language, it would already be fine.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm just saying eliminate the word additional and just say, or queuing spaces as determined by
that covers
planning
either direction.
Right. Then it can go up or down. But then maybe also qualify it with that
the little
footnote letter.
Okay. Does it make any sense to put that instead where it says reduction in required weight of queuing?
Yeah, maybe.
No, I like it up there.
Sorry. That's okay.
I'm just calling it out for
some. Yeah, you just want it to be.
I want it to be known that.
I think it's okay. Because this is addressing the minimum, the table is,
mm-hmm.
and the little D is addressing reduction in it.
Right.
Right?
So all of them get a little D. Right?
Like gas stations, I would say no. Is that what you mean? Like
no, not gas stations. The ones that have red.
Okay.
Need to have a little D. Because we could also reduce them.
Like
or,
a car wash we're going to reduce? Like, is
well,
that...
Well, no, I mean...
But I'm saying,
I guess it doesn't matter.
But there may be situations, like, we encounter a sergeant clean or something like that that just can't physically house 12 queuing spaces on the site. So...
They wouldn't even get that far.
It's not even that far, or they'd have to go for a variance or something like that. Or is there any condition where we would invoke little D to say we're going to reduce the...
Maybe for a oil change place or something.
We already have that as a different. We didn't touch that one, and we saw that when the.
Which one is that?
Valvoline
one?
Or
all
something came
uses?
Through. Yeah.
No, it was in.
It was Valvoline.
We used something because
yeah,
we.
Yeah, Valvoline.
Yeah.
Well, I think because we counted the car in the, mm-hmm. like in the bay as something.
And then two behind it.
Right.
But we would have looked at this chart, right? And I don't really,
mm-hmm.
I don't see where it would fit.
But we probably didn't because it was permitted.
Valvoline?
That would have been general business, right?
We talked about their
queuing. We talked about the queuing, yeah, but not as a conditional use.
Valvoline is in...
That would be
probably
general business,
yeah. Pretty much that whole stretch is general business.
So is this...
But it still had a requirement, so we would have looked at
that.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, you're right. Yes, you're right.
We just wouldn't have conditions.
Right.
But 1187 is not in conditional uses.
And that's what Bill just said.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, that it was, like I said, it probably was permitted, but we would have referenced the chart anyways.
Okay.
For
even though it's permitted, there was still a benchmark.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Or a number.
Okay.
The other thing that you may want to consider is when we were looking at Panera, if you remember back then, they talked about reducing their queuing by pushing the order board closer to the window, which meant...
Back up
because it takes longer to prepare the order. Instead of having four cars to get the order ready, you only had the one. So I don't know if
do
you
need,
need
to add an identifier to
say
where,
I'm asking
like
you
where,
guys.
Where does the queuing start?
The problem
it
is,
says as
is order board.
At the order board. But if you push the order board right up to the window.
Well, that's that, yeah. So
that's what Panera was considering
so you
doing.
12.
You'd have 12.
Counting the order board and back.
But instead of placing your order and then having four cars to be served ahead of you, you are now ordering and pulling up to the window.
It depends what you have, what you're selling.
Yeah.
So I would say...
yeah, but in that case, if Panera had kept it four cars behind, do the cars ahead of the order board count towards their queuing?
No.
No,
what
it would
it
not.
Is they have time to make the food.
And I get that, but like from a zoning perspective, those would not.
Saying, yeah.
Those would not count.
No,
it's you order.
So it's from the point of order.
Yeah.
They sometimes they don't get that part and they just show from the window.
Yeah.
Right. The problem is if and I don't know,
it's becoming less practical, but there are places that you order at the window.
Yeah.
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 Well, the pizza joint on the corner of River Oaks and
it's not a pizza joint anymore. It's Gunselman's Tavern.
Gunny's
Takeout. Yeah.
With the illegal drive-through.
Gunny's is so good, though. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Gunny's
it's
is
illegal
so good.
Drive-through.
Is good. Yeah. What is
it? I was just kidding. That's that.
We were just there last
time. But
check out their onion.
I mean, even if you go to Panera to order.
Joe's.
If you order something other than just a muffin and a coffee, you're sitting and waiting. You know,
at where? Panera?
Panera, where they're
the biggest problem they have is the way that people fly around the corner and try to get out of there.
Yeah.
Out of the drive-thru.
I would never go to the drive-thru at Panera.
No.
I do if it's just coffee.
Stay in there long, stand long enough inside. I would never want my... Shut up.
But
I've seen them fly through that.
Oh, I've backed up after going okay. inside.
Anyway, so this is just a little introduction. I'll tune it up. We'll talk a little bit more.
I think we should get it moving.
Okay.
It seems the changes are minor.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, once the
we want to make a motion to make the recommendation.
Yeah, you want to keep it so we have it on record that if we do get into a meeting, we have it on record that we're considering making the law.
So the
but
motion
we're not,
would
I mean
be...
that but that's not for tonight though. Like we're
making the recommendation to
council to make
council
a recommendation
to make
back to us.
Yeah,
so however,
to draw up an ordinance and start the process.
Yes.
Okay.
We need a motion for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Want to
do it?
Mr. Chair, I'll move to move forward with a recommendation to the proposed changes to the development code as presented at today's meeting.
I will second that.
Okay. Mr. McAleer.
Yes.
Mr. Babcock.
Aye.
Mr. DeMarco.
Yeah, I'll just add that we make the clarification in the motion that we're recommending it to council.
Yes.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
For,
I thought I did.
To draw an order.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay.
That's okay. But if I did not,
that's
I agree
fine. It's
with
clarified
it.
Now.
Or can you recommend it to the law department to do the ordinance because they do it?
Well, that council instructs the law department,
yeah, but
right?
Council, yeah.
They
right?
We want to make it to council.
Yeah,
that's and right. We'll draw it up.
Right.
And then Gina Gallagher will
right.
sponsor.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Trevor.
I might have missed it.
What am I doing for that? Oh, did you go through everybody's? Yes.
You two need to chat, you two.
You're a yes?
Yes.
Okay.
You got
everybody.
I don't know if Mike talked.
Are we good?
Did you say yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We're good.
Four yes.
Adjourn? Yes.
Yes.
Mike's got to go to his party with the basketball game.
You got to give it to. I have to get it together here so everybody understands.
Yes. Tuesday.
We'll write it up, Mike. Don't
right,
worry.
Right, like
I can write it up. The last one I wrote up was Mary Ellen, and then we just gave it to you.
It was the parking stuff.
Yeah. No.
What are we seeing
next week? You're
I would
seeing the only thing you're seeing.
The only good thing for us.
What?
Yeah, we can do it, make it easier on us in a way.
Yeah, we'll take care of it.
It's an old kind of boilerplate that's great.
Yeah.
What is it?
And you know what? Less people.
It's Magnificat Concessions.
Excellent. Oh, that's the only thing.
We're not done with that yet. They can wait. I wonder if they can wait.
Is it final?
Hey, what is
It's preliminary.
Yeah.
Hoping it'll. Did you already? No, not Magnificat.
Oh, Rock
no,
River.
It's the Little League. But they're not doing it till later. They're not doing it for this summer.
Yeah. Oh, really? So people have time to still get their burgers?
Principal, somebody should be
yes.
That's another
worst case scenario.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See you, Trevor. Going to basketball game?